It's Monday.
It's February 24th.
And the word of the day is a panthropist, which means one who has a love of solitude. Using the sentence, I'm not happy about the pandemic like a misanthropist, but I enjoyed the pandemic as an apanthropist, right?
All right, see, and I enjoyed all the anti-vaxxers dying, so it's about small pleasures.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What do you call it if you like solitude because you hate everyone and wish they died of a pandemic? Anyway, I'm Noah Illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright, and broadcasting delayed from America's Far Center, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, we'll cover the multiple Hitler salutes of this year's CPAC.
The AP will ask us what we heard about Trump's latest presser.
And I'm also a misanthropist based on really hating 49.8% of the people.
Yeah.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, here in 2025... the year of our Lord. I've been trying to focus on positive little things where I can find them, like, you know, the softness of a pillow that I'm screaming into. Any simple pleasures that are working for you guys?
Well, yeah, no, I've been getting into woodworking and blade sharpening and all the other guillotine construction related hobbies.
Sure.
Yeah,
no, I do magic tricks. So
there you go, yeah.
Cool. Cool. So in our lead story tonight, we have a story about Nazis and chainsaws. That's right. The Conservative Political Action Conference was held last week in Maryland. CPAC. And the big three headliners were, well, besides Donald Trump, Elon Musk, a white South African who did a pair of Nazi salutes on Inauguration Day. Also J.D. Vance, a couch-fucking vice president who just gave a speech in Germany about the lack of free speech in Germany while supporting their literal neo-Nazi party. And
tricky.
Also Steve Bannon, a convicted felon who looks like Ben Franklin smoked an exploding cigar in a cartoon very recently, who did a Nazi salute at the end of his talk at CPAC on Friday.
Yep.
Donald Trump was like the least Nazi-ish person at CPAC. That's terrifying.
Well, Hitler didn't have to heil himself. I mean, that's true.
And also there was a chainsaw. And I'd say it's the least insane detail that I just mentioned. That's what happened at the big national gathering that represents the conservative movement in America right now.
Yeah, I guess what we're saying is we're pretty sure there's no such thing as time travel based on how smoothly this event went.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the chainsaw wasn't employed in any of the fun ways your imagination has already started to fill in when Heath said Nazis and chainsaws.
Yeah. So I'll start with you learning how to sharpen those little links, the thing on the chain. Yeah, cool. Yep, that's important. It's just a fun hobby, unrelated to anything we were talking about. So I'll start with J.D. Vance. He fucked a couch. We don't talk about that enough. Just to be clear, we do not know about his couch fucking because Vance put a couch fucking story in his memoir, Hillbilly Elegy. That was actually a hoax, it turns out. We know about the couch fucking because he looks like he fucks couches, right?
Yes.
He just does. He's got a couch fucky vibe.
Oozes couch fucky.
Yeah.
Truth to power.
And I'm really just bringing this up because I want to remind everyone that we're calling him Jance Dance Vance or Chesterfield Molesterfield from now on.
Okay.
Those are the names for the vice president. Also, because the speech he gave at CPAC was boring and recycled from his speech in Germany to the neo-Nazi party mostly. And same goes for Steve Bannon. He's also, I'd say he also has a couch fucky vibe, but he gave a boring speech too, is what I meant. By the end of that speech, Bannon was really desperate for an applause moment from the CPAC audience. So he went with the obvious crowd pleaser, a Sieg Heil.
Yeah, so hack.
Yeah.
Great.
It's been done.
Get your own material.
Yeah.
Who's a Nazi tonight? This guy knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. And it wasn't one of those neuro-spicy moments of saluting Hitler. It was just a regular one with, like, typical Republican neurons from Steve Bannon. In response, professional anti-Semite. Like, that's the job of Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes was like, dude, that was uncomfortable even for me just now, Steve Bannon. And that's not a joke. That was the actual response from Nick Fuentes, the Holocaust denying fucking Groypers army guy.
Sorry, I just want to go back to something you said. Is there someone out there saying that Elon did a Hitler salute because he's on the autism spectrum?
Yes.
Because I want to speak to my kid's occupational therapist if this is a thing we need to keep an eye out for. I didn't realize.
Yeah. No, you don't really have to worry until he invades Poland. But if he does that, call somebody.
It's true. It's true. It's like the scratching themselves versus scratching other people.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Right, yeah. Important distinction. That brings us to Elon Musk and a chainsaw.
Again, there's so many good ways those could go together.
Right?
No, they really
not
don't.
How it happened this week. If you typed Elon Musk into Google last week, anyway, this is how it worked for me, it immediately assumed Elon Musk chainsaw. It was certain that's what I was looking for. And it's almost impossible for that to be a good thing, like a good sign about you. If your name auto-completes to your name chainsaw, and you're not like a lumberjack surgeon who just won a Nobel Prize for some amazing shit where you just combine your two things, or maybe, I don't know, a public health chief who found a whale. If one of those two things isn't happening, something's gone terribly wrong. Also, the second thing is terribly wrong, to be clear. Especially, though, if you show up on stage at CPAC. Elon Musk did that wearing blackout sunglasses indoors, a jacket I would describe as a men's rights mentalism jacket, Eli.
Okay.
Is that about right?
Yep, tough but fair, tough but fair.
And a MAGA hat. And then you're immediately handed a chainsaw by what appears to be a 70s game show host. That is somehow also the president of Argentina, Javier Milei. And then you scream into the crowd, exact quote, "Raw! This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy! Chainsaw! Eeyah!" End exact quote.
Actual quote, yes.
Guys, I think if Kamala Harris had a full election cycle to run, she would have won these people over. I think they really... I think they were open.
Their whole thing is some kind of vendetta to put political cartoonists out of business. Trump got mad at how small they drew his hands or something, and he's enacted this master fucking plan. Because this is a cartoon from our fucking side! Right? This is Elon Musk holding a chainsaw when he needs a scalpel, mowing indiscriminately through our democracy with a tool he can barely lift, let alone wield. And he's even dressed like the cartoonist couldn't get his stupid fucking eyes right.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's
if
tough.
I was drawing the cartoon, I would literally make the person who handed him the chainsaw, the dumb MC, I would make him a weird 70s game show host.
Yes,
turns out
yes.
Javier Milei in real life is that guy.
Yep.
And a shitty libertarian president of Argentina at the same time. It's amazing. So the Musk appearance came in the form of an interview from Jake Schmidt of Newsmax. Is Jake related to Carl Schmidt, the notorious jurist for the Third Reich? Probably. I don't know, but probably. Either
might
way.
Might be him, for all we know at this point in history.
Right.
Either way, before the questions even started, Elon dove right in with an important political issue, legalizing comedy, because, quote, the left wanted to make comedy illegal. And Elon's a big advocate for comedy. So, you know, thank God we have Elon out there being an activist. Mm-hmm. We watched him waving around a prop chainsaw like fucking Carrot Top. And then he implored the country to, quote, legalize comedy. That's how he started.
Okay, this I actually can empathize with, right? It's been a lot harder for me to keep the comic things I say legal the last couple of months. And
that's
would love to not worry about that. I could put those hilarious maps I drew in the show notes.
Yeah. No, hey, guys, if you want to help comedy, stop short of being the most ridiculous imaginable punchline in real life in every fucking thing you do. Leave us some room for exaggeration.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. We also learned about Elon's moral foundations from an early age, by the way. That was exciting. Mm. Turns out his moral foundation, it was a combination of, well, being an emerald mining heir in South Africa as a white person in South Africa, plus pop culture from America. So that's cool. According to Elon, quote, "I grew up in South Africa, but my morality was informed by America. I read comic books, I played Dungeons and Dragons, and I watched American TV shows.
Well, I guess if you ask me my moral foundations, it's probably like ethics in gaming journalism and the Maya He video. Am I right, fellow intranet kids? Lols. Lols. R-F-O-L-L-O-L.
Well, gaming journalism, except for like Diablo 4 stuff. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, right.
Damn.
And damn. Speaking of morality, we got Elon's take regarding the war in Ukraine.
Oh.
He claimed that a whole bunch of graft and bribery is going on, which is correct, I guess. But I don't think like the way he meant it. I don't think he was talking about Donald Trump doing a negotiation about Ukraine with Vladimir Putin and end of list, in which Ukraine would give up a bunch of land to Russia and in return, end of list.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Trump's demanding a deal with President Zelensky that gives the U.S. half of Ukraine's mineral rights just, you know, forever. None of that got mentioned in the interview when we were talking about Ukraine.
No, he's just like, yeah, there's a ton of graft and bribery going on, which is great because switching Starlink on and off is very easy. It takes me no time at all. It's just like a one-button thing.
Yeah, and the rest of the interview, of course, was about the Doge. In particular, we got a discussion about Musk firing 6,700 people from the IRS last week. Rich conservatives love it because they can cheat more, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And poor conservatives love it because they're fucking imbeciles who think their deer jerky company is about to be the next Amazon or something dumb like that. Quick detail about government efficiency that never got mentioned in this discussion of the department of that. When you cut the budget and the staff for the IRS, you lose money.
Yes.
One easy way to remember that, it's a revenue service. It's right,
right
in the title.
Yeah, right there.
Going after tax evasion by millionaires and billionaires and their corporations is extremely profitable. IRS agents who do that end up recovering way more money than they get paid in a government salary. There's actually a figure called the tax gap. It means the amount of underpayment of tax every year. And it's approximately $606 billion based on the most recent data. So unless those 6,700 fired people from the IRS were each making about $90 million a year, we should be saving them on wealthy tax cheats instead of firing them. Based on the entire staff of the IRS, about 83,000 people, the tax gap represents about $7.3 million a person. And listen, cutting the bloated parts of government spending is a good idea in general, but doing it with a chainsaw is nonsense. And the IRS is not the place to cut corners. The IRS is the most efficient government thing of all time. It's an entire service of revenue. Explain that to Uncle Frank when he talks about government efficiency or whatever.
Yeah.
I love that Heath is picturing an Uncle Frank who goes, one second, I'm just watching the guy like run around stage with a chainsaw. Okay, good government spending, comic books. Okay, sorry. Now, what were you saying about fiscal policy, nephew? I am doxastically open and ready to learn.
Yeah, you're not gonna talk CPAC people into it, but well, maybe some other ones.
Well, maybe you could say, hey, look, how about this is like trying to cut costs at your corner store by getting rid of the cash register and the cashier. Right? Like, maybe they'll hear that.
That actually would, I think.
I'm paying that guy like $9 an hour. This is shit.
Yeah, that's solid. So, bottom line, the Doge is just looking for money to pay for another enormous tax cut for rich people. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Tell the Uncle Franks about that, too. Tell your friend. I was shocked, actually. This actually happened to me multiple times last year. I was like doing that thing near the election where I was like, I'm going to argue with every close to on the line person I know. And I talked to a few people, a couple different friends from high school, but they like they know how to read. And when I said, hey, Republicans in our entire lifetime are trying to just make rich people richer. That's kind of like their defining characteristic. And they were like, what? Are you sure that like that's known to us? We're like, yeah, obviously. It's not known to some people. And in both of those cases, I said that and they were like, really? And I was like, yeah, look it up. And it did make them think about it. It actually worked to like get some thought to happen. So try that out. Anyway, that's what they're doing with this. That's what the Doge is doing. And the literal richest person is running it and finding a way to get, you know, an enormous tax cut for rich people again. And now they're talking about writing a check for $5,000 to every taxpayer using part of the Doge cuts to pay for it. The numbers behind that claim are fucking absurd. So it's not happening. But most importantly, they're stealing billions for billionaires and tricking about 77 million Republican idiots with dangling $5,000 that's never even going to happen. It's absurd. We need a Thanos, but like we got to get him to focus up. Like none of this random
there
bullshit.
We
need a Thanos.
Yeah,
with, like,
back on the same page.
It was only a matter of time.
You and me both.
All right. Sorry. It's going to end that way a lot for a while. Cool. Well, speaking of whatever I meant by that, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Bamboo HR.
Hey, podcast listener. I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm No Illusions.
And I'm Heath Enright.
You know, when we started Puzzle in a Thunderstorm LLC, I think it's fair to say we had no idea what we were doing.
It's true. Noah used to just PayPal us when the money showed up. That was the whole payment system.
But as we grew, we needed professional solutions to those problems, which means we really could have used Bamboo HR.
Bamboo HR is a powerful yet flexible all-in-one HR solution for your growing business. Stop spending countless hours on payroll, time tracking, benefits, and performance management. With Bamboo HR, those hours are shaved down to minutes. So you'll never need a bookkeeper to remind you that you owe payroll taxes in all the states.
Thanks, Julie. Over 34,000 companies trust Bamboo HR because it's an integrated system that's designed to handle your current and upcoming HR needs.
Plus, Bamboo HR prides itself on being super easy. Easy to use, easy to learn, easy to implement, and very easy to love. Take a couple of minutes to check out the free demo and see how nimble and affordable this valuable tool can be.
Reclaim your time and do what we did. Check out a free demo at bamboohr.com/freedemo. See for yourself all that Bamboo HR can do and how truly affordable it can be, too. That's bamboohr.com/freedemo. bamboohr.com/freedemo, because Heath can probably do the taxes, is not a business strategy.
I would have been fine. I could have done it.
We know you would have been, buddy.
Totally fine.
Thank you. I think you're lying. At the end of this sketch.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in okay, but those Quakers were awfully mouthy news. One of the hardest parts about living in terrible times like these is how normalized everything is, right? You look around at what could not be a more obvious rise of fascism, and yet our newspapers and televisions report on it like it's soap opera drama. It's like someone trying to politely steer the conversation away from the fact that they just stabbed you. And so, as the Trump administration took its first of what I'm sure will be many aims at the free press this past week, the rest of the press, scooching ever inward away from the darkness, wrote him a strongly worded letter about it.
Well, they wrote him a worded letter about it anyway. Management killed the strongly part, a direct order from Bezos, I think.
Yeah, it's worded medium, and that's important. According to Bezos, it's an important tradition of neutrality at the Post that goes back to the World War II era, when neutrality was very important.
Yes.
Eli literally screamed as we read the op-ed from Jeff Bezos about refusing to endorse Kamala Harris.
It's crazy.
That'll happen.
Crazy.
Check out Citation Needed.
Yeah. So I am, of course, talking about the ban of the Associated Press from the White House by the Trump administration over their refusal to acknowledge the renaming of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Now, the AP has refused this for several reasons. First and foremost, because they serve as the de facto style guide for a lot of other news agencies. And unlike the New York Times and Fox News, who can either, through cowardice or loyalty, mumble the change under their breath, for the AP to adopt it would fly in the face of the reason for their organization. As the AP has pointed out, other countries use the Gulf of Mexico and they didn't elect Donald Trump, so it should probably get to keep its name. The other reason, of course, is that it's fucking stupid.
Sure. Yeah. Is that too?
Yeah, it's fucking, it's weird that we need people to take us seriously wasn't more of a deal breaker for the other news agencies, right?
Just for the record, though, Mexico has claim to more of the Gulf than the U.S. It's 49% controlled by Mexico and 46% for the U.S. It's also 4% Cuba. And so I feel like everyone should just start calling it the Gulf of Cuba from now on. I like that. And if the country with 46% gets the title over the 49%, then Kamala Harris with 48.3% is the president more than the Gulf is named after America.
Yeah,
more
yeah,
than
yeah. yeah.
Right. But like I said,
I'm going to kick Donald Trump out of the press.
Yeah, please. I wish you would. But like I said, being the grammar nerds of the press has also made them an easy target. And so the Trump administration has banned the Associated Press from several White House events and press conferences. At this point, they have openly stated that White House access is a, quote, privilege, end quote, only for the aforementioned loyal and the cowardly.
And plenty of outlets, including the New York Times, by the way, are mostly saying Gulf of Mexico, but they didn't get banned. It's just the one. It's the AP. It's just Orwellian theater is yes. what's happening. And apparently Trump World thinks 1984 was a book about Big Brother getting hampered by red tape and big addition bureaucracy yeah. or something like that. All of a sudden, they've yeah. really flipped on how they use Orwell.
But don't worry, everybody. As I teased at the beginning of the story, the other news agencies have banded together, hand in hand, to write the White House a letter urging them to reconsider their decision. That's it. That's all yep. they've done, mm-hmm. everybody.
No, unfortunately, he did ban the letter, so he hasn't seen it.
Okay, listen. I was all about banning the AP because they refused to acknowledge that using the Oxford comma is a better system. I hate the AP for this one little thing. If you manage to get me on a team with the comma-erasing bigots, you've done something terribly wrong.
It's true. It's true. Now, I should point out that a few right-wing agencies like Fox News and Newsmax, which have celebrated the ban openly on their platforms, have signed the letter as well. And many have seen this as a sign of some kind of like secret fortitude or solidarity, but I want to assure you, it's not. These right-wing outlets are just aware of how little it means to sign this letter, so it costs them absolutely nothing to do it.
Yeah, Fox and Newsmax just don't want to get banned by a future Democrat, and they're idiots who already forgot how they never got banned by a Democrat. Mm-hmm. The letter just gives them something to refer back to later, maybe. And yeah, it's a freebie for them, like Eli said, because nobody who gets their news at Fox or Newsmax is reading an article about this that doesn't have, you know, an eating dog's whistle in the headline. So, like, that's it doesn't yeah. even matter.
Exactly. And this, of course, it goes without saying that all of these news organizations, signing the letter or not, are still participating in events the AP is banned from because, you know, we stand with our brothers, yada, 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 but he might say something about putting bleach in our veins again, and we don't want to miss the clicks.
Yeah, right. Have you ever heard the audio of those people at Jonestown who try to talk him out of making the kids drink the Kool-Aid, and then they lost the argument, and then they acquiesced? It's like that, but for fascism. It's a lot like that. And in Revision is Twice as Good as Vision News, a lot of people are saying that Elon Musk is the real president of the United States, an image that certainly wasn't dissuaded by his kid rubbing boogers on the Resolute desk, and some have even started calling him President Musk in an obvious effort to goad the notoriously thin-skinned would-be dictator that's really running the country. But for his part, Vladimir Putin seems to be taking it in stride, right? We were, however, reminded who the real power behind the golden toilet was on Tuesday when Trump's comments on Ukraine could not have puppeted Moscow's propaganda anymore if Putin had his hand way up his ass while Dmitry Medvedev worked the arms.
Honestly, just the knowledge that Trump was uncomfortable would have made it a better situation. Yep. For me, so.
Okay, if Jeff Dunham had any creative talent.
We're going into a theoretical.
He'd be doing a bit with like him working a puppet of Putin, working a puppet of Elon Musk, working a puppet of Donald Trump, you know? And then the Trump puppet would like daisy chain around and put a hand up Jeff Dunham's butt. Like,
oh, there you go.
Somebody make that political cartoon at least. Yeah, get right, it, Angela. Do it up.
So this stream of Russian disinformation began when Marco Rubio attended the Neville Chamberlain Memorial meetings in Saudi Arabia in an effort to normalize relations with Russia. These were billed as peace talks about Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine, a lie at least somewhat betrayed by the fact that nobody from the Ukrainian government was there, nor was there anybody there representing Ukraine's European allies. It was just a meeting between Russian and U.S. officials about how they were going to divide up some other motherfucker's country. And when Trump was called on that, he said of Ukraine's absence, quote, "You've been there for 3 years. You should have ended it. You should never have started it. You could have made a deal," end quote.
They very clearly told you to stop hitting yourself.
Yes, right. So, like, as I'm sure you'll all recall, Ukraine didn't start it in any way except the, like, what was she wearing sense that, honestly, I guess Donald the adjudicated rapist Trump would probably recognize as legitimate. But regardless of how much fucking port their outfit was showing, they didn't start the fucking war. Russia did. Twice! But that didn't stop Trump from doubling down on his bullshit and even parroting Russian claims that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was illegitimate because he's remained in office beyond his term.
Oh, yeah, that's a big problem. And messing with term limits is wrong. That's why he's supporting Vladimir Putin.
Right, yeah. No,
really?
He'll tackle that when he gets reelected. Yeah. Hey, look, and in anticipation of accusations that he was just reading the talking points that Putin gave him, he added, apropos of nobody's question, quote, "That's not a Russia thing. That's something coming from me and coming from many other countries also," end quote. Because, you know, like, a lot of times when you're telling the truth, you add, "And I'm also not lying," because it's like that. It's one of those times.
These aren't talking points from Putin. Don't read this part out loud. Stab with polonium umbrella if need. Fuck. Cut.
So, to be clear here, Zelensky has remained in office beyond his elected term, and he has not held elections. That part is true. But that's because his country is being actively invaded by a foreign fucking dictator. Right. Martial law isn't a sinister thing to declare when you're actually being invaded. That's why we have it. Who, like, how the fuck are you going to hold free and fair elections when much of the nation is being actively bombed and every able-bodied man who can hold a gun is at the front? The country's goddamn constitution makes it clear that elections should be suspended in wartime. And beyond that, the idea that Donald, the big lie Trump, gives a fuck about free and fair elections in defense of, as fucking Heath pointed out, Vladimir goddamn Putin, a man who has jailed and murdered his political opposition and critical reporters for decades to remain in power with rubber stamp elections, is a level of bullshit writers of fiction are not allowed to use.
Yeah, just a relevant detail. Other than Putin, the biggest presidential victory in Russia was Boris Yeltsin in 1991 with 57% of the vote. In the so-called election from last year, Putin got 87% of the popular vote.
Wow.
According to the, they were making up lies, and they made up a crazy lie. They could have made up a less crazy lie, but they didn't. And in case the lying wasn't completely obvious, Steven Seagal was there at Putin's inauguration. Nothing with Steven Seagal being there isn't a lie.
Right.
That's true. That's true. Steven Seagal things are inherently lies. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, of course. But none of this stopped Trump from further reversing the bipartisan consensus on Ukraine by labeling Zelensky a dictator. He also claimed at one point that Zelensky's approval rating was at 4%. Which is a ridiculous statement. First of all, because who the fuck is conducting presidential popularity polls in the midst of an active war zone? But also, to the extent that his approval rating can be ascertained, it's well above 50%. That is, it's far higher than Donald Trump's is now or has ever been.
Yeah.
Okay, so your concerns are the bombs, your children, my God, your children, and the price of eggs, okay?
Okay, one other relevant detail. In the entire history of Gallup doing presidential approval ratings, only one president never cracked 50 as their high point.
Yeah.
Donald Trump,
no,
who
Donald
maxed
Trump,
out at 49.
Yeah.
Richard Nixon had a high point of 67.
I mean, it's no surprise, because it's a popularity contest. That's what gets you there.
Nixon got a 67 while we were in the middle of losing the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Like the worst parts of losing that.
Yeah. But yeah, much like the time Trump stood there with Putin's balls on his chin, assuring the press that Russia didn't interfere in the 2016 election, or the time that he tongued Mohammed bin Salman's taint while he said that Jamal Khashoggi's true killers may never be known, or the time that he slurped up Erdogan's baby batter while our Kurdish allies were slaughtered in Syria, Trump is once again capitulating to an autocrat in a way that would make Ronald Reagan roll over in his grave if he wasn't already rolling perpetually over in his grave in his eternal attempt to escape after he was cursed by a Siberian peasant to forever be undying. And worth noting, despite a couple of full-throated condemnations of Putin, Republicans in Congress have managed exactly no actual pushback against Trump's wholesale submission to a foreign enemy.
Hey, fuck all. Those are the only people who can do something right now.
Yep.
Republicans in Congress could be like, okay, we like a couple of his things, but he's a giant, crazy, dangerous asshole, and he's doing it super hard. Now we have to stop a bunch of this.
Yes,
they could, and they don't.
Guys, I think they might not be ruling with our best interests in mind.
It's starting to feel that way.
All their talk about, you know, too much big government overreach, I feel like maybe that was just hypocritical bullshit, just selectively chosen.
Uh-huh. And speaking of how doomed we are, it's a great time to hear about this week's other sponsor, Policy Genius. Thanks for inviting us over, Eli.
Oh, no problem, guys. I'm excited to have you.
Eli, it's pretty cold in here.
Oh, yeah, I turned off the heat.
In your house?
Yeah, no, I know, but all that thermostat and boiler stuff, it was just all so much. It was too complicated.
I mean, is your family okay with that?
Oh, no, they're really cold and unhappy about it. Sure. I just wish there was a Policy Genius for everything, you know?
What's Policy Genius?
Well, Policy Genius makes finding and buying life insurance simple and ensures your loved ones have a financial safety net they can use to cover debts and routine expenses. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 a year for $1 million worth of coverage. Some options are 100% online and let you avoid unnecessary medical exams.
That actually sounds great.
It is. Plus, their licensed support team helps you get what you need fast, so you can get on with your life. They answer questions, handle paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the process, unlike those meanie faces at PSE&G.
Meanie faces?
Yeah, they were all push the button this, and that's not my job that. Secure your families tomorrow so you have peace of mind today. Head to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com.
All right. Well, we're going to go.
Yeah, man, we're not staying here.
Oh, heat genius. When will you be invented?
And we're back. Next up in headlines, in critical mass firing news, in order to improve governmental efficiency, the Doge fired about 350 people whose job is nuclear safety. Apparently, Elon Musk was like, hey, Big Balls, get in here. You're a 19-year-old incel who calls himself Big Balls, right? Cool. Yeah, just checking. I need you to fire 2,000 people in the Department of Energy. Just figure it out. Don't ask any questions. So Big Balls, or somebody like him, just went ahead and shut down 2,000 staff accounts on the computer system at the Department of Energy. Well, approximately 350 of those were part of the National Nuclear Security Administration, or NNSA.
Oh, Jesus.
Many of whom had Q-level clearance, like the real kind. So our nuclear program and our sex trafficking program immediately became way less secure. That's terrifying.
Where will we get our adrenochrome?
Yeah. So the NNSA had about 1,800 employees before they lost about 20% of their workforce overnight without warning.
Jesus.
Yeah. Given that there are exactly 4 sites in the country where the people don't deserve a nuclear meltdown, that's a math I'm willing to accept.
Well, plus, if we get the meltdown out of the way, he won't be able to launch them at, like, Bolivia for not calling it Gulf of America or whatever.
Exactly.
So this could be I don't know about deserves it shit, but this could be a win-win.
All right. So following the ridiculous purge, a bunch of those 350 people showed up at work the next day because they never even found out they were let go. And that's because they lost access to their official DOE email accounts before they got the email saying they're fired.
Jesus Christ.
And then pretty much immediately, we got a rare example of actual pushback against insane behavior from the Doge. Multiple members of Congress called the new Energy Secretary, Chris Wright, and explained how we're not looking for fucking nickels in the couch by making cuts to nuclear warhead safety. And to his credit, Chris Wright, a climate change denier and oil company executive who drank fracking fluid to prove it was safe, that guy thought the move by Elon Musk and the Doge was a little crazy and went about reversing it. So this particular act of government efficiency ended with the National Nuclear Security Administration, who they weren't really busy with anything important. They spent a long weekend scrambling to unfire as many people as they could.
Hey, free long weekend, am I right, guys? And hey, remember we gave you that cool cardboard box, too? Yeah. That was a little bonus.
Think about all that stuff in your office you'd been meaning to dust under. Well, now we've done that for you. It's all done. Just put it back. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, somehow it gets even dumber. Big Balls, or whoever it was, that's the generic name for any of the Doge bags from now on. There's a real one called Big Balls that's for real. We have somebody named Big Balls doing stuff in U.S. government. Well, Big Balls, or whoever, never bothered to involve the HR department at the NNSA. So the firings were basically just throwing darts at a wall by the Doge, and the whole process was insanely disorganized. And that became especially obvious when a bunch of NNSA managers had to unfire a big list of people. And it became extra especially obvious when they found out that Big Balls had shut down everyone's access to their work emails and also turned off their government-issued phones. So these managers had to find the personal contact information for everyone and try to unfire them all during a holiday weekend.
Oh, wow. That's... sounds efficient.
Man, it's a good thing that none of the people who had access to our nuclear arsenal are mad at us now.
Yeah. Yep.
Good thing. Efficient. So, in response to the giant fuck-up, the Department of Energy released an official statement claiming that the number of firings was actually less than 50 and that most of those were, quote, probationary employees who held, quote, primarily administrative and clerical roles. Which would also be stupid. If that was true, it would be stupid. But more importantly, they were lying just now about that. Some of the fired employees were managing enormous radioactive waste sites, and others dealt directly with maintaining and rebuilding literal nuclear warheads. We know that because a bunch of those people told reporters they got fired and then explained their job to those reporters. And we counted by counting, and the number was about 350.
Okay, but if you think these people believe in counting, I have a Dinesh D'Souza documentary I'd like you to rewatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is fair. This is fair.
So, according to the latest reports, almost everyone who got stupid fired is now unfired. They eventually got an email to their personal accounts that said, "This letter serves as a formal notification that the termination has been rescinded. You're expected to resume your duties as assigned."
You're welcome.
Yeah, but basically, you're welcome. And I guess that's good that those people are unfired. But now all those people, many with Q-level clearance, don't know who the fuck is in charge. One employee said to CNN, approximate quote, "What if some 19-year-old named fucking Big Balls shows up and demands to see a file about warhead design? I've got to decide between turning over classified data or losing my job. What the fuck is happening? I'm in charge of nuclear warheads."
Jesus Christ.
It literally is rocket science. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. And in self-centered news, with all the terrible things the Trump administration is doing, it may seem odd to focus on Trump's takeover of the Kennedy Center. But you knew I was one of those fancy Jew art lovers when I said my name at the start of the show. So, dadgummit, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, Trump demanded the respect of the liberal intelligentsia at the point of a gun, but the upshot is that we get to see what happens when a bunch of Trump supporters have to tie a bow tie now.
Sure. Yeah, the leaders from the party of Lincoln should be attending more theater. I do like that. Art matters is why I like that.
Yeah. So if you're not aware, the Kennedy Center is a bipartisan arts education foundation with a rich 54-year history. They give out grants, they put up shows, and they even sponsor regional theater conferences across America where high schoolers gather to take workshops, learn, mix, and mingle. But they also give out the Kennedy Center Honors.
It feels like Eli got a huge at the Kennedy Center at some point in his late teens.
In many ways, yes. Yeah. And during Trump's first term, a few people receiving those awards said not nice things about Donald Trump. And so, to prove those people righter than they could possibly have imagined, he bided his time, got elected again by your racist uncle, purged the center's board of all Biden's appointees, installed himself as chairman, fired the president, and replaced her with one of his cronies.
Yeah, the only reason he hasn't just bought Time magazine and named himself Man of the Year in perpetuity is that he's not actually that rich, okay?
Yeah, yet. Yeah, so we actually got to hear from said crony this week at CPAC. That would be Richard Grenell, Trump's former ambassador to Germany, who told CPAC that Trump wants to, get ready for it, make art great again.
Oh, good. Yeah. Cool. Did you know that art used to have boobs and shit in it? Used to have boobs in it. What happened to us?
I remember the good old days. I'd open up an art magazine that I loved. It was called Playboy, I think. And I'd read the amazing articles by Gore Vidal and Buckley Jr. Yeah. I'm a Supreme Court justice.
But Eli, you say, what kind of programming does the new Kennedy Center have in mind? Well, according to Grinnell, quote, "We are doing a big, huge celebration of the birth of Christ at Christmas. How crazy is it to think that we're going to celebrate Christ at Christmas with a big traditional production to celebrate what we're all celebrating in the world during Christmas time, which is the birth of Christ." End quote.
Why didn't they think of that 53 years in a row?
Uh-huh.
So, according to Trump, we'll do things both physically and in every other way to make the building look even better. I don't know what that, like, spiritually, sexually, I don't know what he plans to do with the building.
Yeah, right.
And he also added, "We're gonna make it hot, and we made the presidency hot, so this should be easy." He's gonna make it hot with the birth of Christ.
This should be fun. Yeah, yeah.
Now it is worth pointing out that the Kennedy Center, like all arts agencies, already does Christmas programming. Mm-hmm. They did it last year and the year before that. Though I will admit, at least some of that will change this year, because at least one of the acts that has performed last year has said they'll have nothing to do with the center in its current iteration.
At least, yeah, I saw a list of like 23 people. Like Trump's made it more relevant in the sense that the rush of cancellations is the highest profile thing to happen to the Kennedy Center in quite a while, I think.
Okay, last year at Christmas, they did something called Handel's Messiah. What the fuck does that have to do with Jesus Christ? I had to step in.
And look, for lovers of the arts like myself, this is obviously very sad, right? I actually speak and teach at those little high school gatherings I mentioned, and when they happen on the East Coast. And it's lovely to see, you know, 1,200 musical theater kids in a building where they're safe and loved and not quite so lonely as a lot of those kids sometimes feel at home. But I'm sure Patriot Con, or whatever it's replaced with by next summer, will be just as good.
The Trump Youth, maybe. They're looking for ideas. And finally tonight, in Cluey Decimal System news.
Mwah! Fantastic!
I'm totally covering that story just so I could steal that joke from at Cherish the Cabin on Blue Sky. Former NFL punter.
Seinfeld reference. Just nice.
Yep. Former NFL punter and totally cool dude that Heath and I got to hang out with once, no big deal, Chris Cluey.
He is so cool.
Made headlines last week when he got arrested for scaring the absolute fuck out of a group of Trump-loving sycophants on the local city council. Because while you might think of punters as the little guys of the NFL, Cluey is Heath Enright levels of tall and 43 years older. No, I bet he can still get his foot over his head when he's motivated to kick some ass.
Yeah, this is basically the story of a bunch of Trumpers getting the find out part of fuck around equation, and I am here for
it. Oh, it's great. Yeah.
He didn't do any violence, but I feel like somebody got two for flinching, at least theoretically.
Oh, absolutely. So if you're not familiar with Cluey, you should be, regardless of how you feel about the NFL. He spent about 8 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings and set about 8 team records during that time. But in 2012, he publicly released a letter in solidarity with Baltimore linebacker Brendan Iambadejo, who had come under fire by team ownership for his support of same-sex marriage. Now, that kicked off an increasingly vocal advocacy for marriage equality and LGBTQ rights in general. Now, keep in mind, this is still several years before Obergefell and way before whatever decision has undone that for people listening in archives. And this advocacy ultimately led to him being released from the Vikings. Now, of course, they claim it was based entirely on his football performance, but that's really hard to reconcile with his, you know, football performance.
He kicked the ball too good. It was ruining the suspense,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
He was also the holder for field goals a few times, and we're pretty sure he was dishonoring dead soldiers by kneeling in those moments.
Yeah, right. No,
so we had to fire him.
Yeah. So anyway, so fast forward a dozen years, and he finds himself living in the same pre-fascist hellscape as you find yourself living in, if you're an American listener, and he learned that his local city council wanted to purchase a plaque for the local library with the words magical, alluring, galvanizing, adventurous, all stacked together in such a way to make the MAGA aspect of their acronym unmistakable. So they wanted to spend taxpayer funds to honor Donald goddamn Trumpian, of all places, a library, assuming Musk doesn't actively dismantle all libraries before the sign gets there. So Cluey decides that he'd like to publicly speak about that at the public comment section of the next city council meeting. And those public comments were pretty fucking epic.
Okay, well, kicked our sign into space. and we don't even believe in space.
Yeah, so it's on really the firmament now, yeah.
Chris Cluey also invented his own collectible card game, kind of like Magic the Gathering. He's so cool.
He was also in the top-ranked U.S. World of Warcraft Guild, and he created a unique weapon in Path of Exile. He is impossibly fucking cool. And he's got better hair than me. Yeah, so...
Me and him.
First, he explains why he's there.
Are you listening?
No.
I edited the party lesson.
So first, he explains why he's there. Then he rattles off this long list of reasons he opposes the Trump regime. And then he wraps up by saying, quote, MAGA is a profoundly corrupt, unmistakably anti-democracy. And most importantly, MAGA is explicitly a Nazi movement. Adding, quote, you may have replaced a swastika with a red hat, but that's what it is, end quote. And then we let the applause die down, and he says, quote, I will now engage in the time-honored American tradition of peaceful civil disobedience, end quote. And he comes towards the city council members with a look on his face that was way more disobedient than civil, and very quickly got himself arrested.
I love it because he literally said peaceful, and they were like, yeah, well, I still shit my pants.
Yes.
Okay, Chris, you got to bring somebody in a ref uniform to throw a flag at the cops for roughing the kicker.
Oh, yes! They can't make direct contact, dude. That would have been a first down. So he was released a few hours later, and then he shared a message on Blue Sky afterwards thanking his followers for the support and adding, quote, remember, peaceful civil disobedience and no kings, no tyrants, not ever, end quote. And then he used the flurry of media in the aftermath of his arrest to highlight the power and importance of civil disobedience and all the crazy shit that Trump and Musk are doing. And I love every fucking thing about this story, except that they arrested him so quickly. I am dying to know what he planned to do if they let him get all the way to the city council members, right? Because my guess is that he would have gone full not touching, can't get mad, but now we will never know.
Chris, you can email us and tell us what you're doing. If you want, Chris, you could.
Or
tell
you
us
could just, if you wanted to do a board game night. Me and Eli play a lot of board games. If you just,
we could end it with me.
Sometime.
I also play board games. I don't know what Eli just said.
Don't listen to Eve. He doesn't play board. He doesn't really play board.
I play collectible card games. I heard you made one. I do that. That's magic. Heath. More than anybody else.
Oh my God, we found the board game Heath won't break.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there playing the rule set. I love this. I am not thought it. Nope, the strategy proposed is the strategy I'm using.
Listen, this is a guy who had to compete against Bill Belichick in real life. There's no way there's a loophole in his game. There's no.
That's true. That's true.
Way.
Bill would already
have
played
it.
Oh, that's
fair. Yep. Fair.
We're activating fair. My trap card.
All right.
She's 19.
On that note, another beep from Eli. I don't know. He's talking in beeps today. We're going to close it out right there. Thanks to No Illusions. Thanks to Eli Bosnick. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening and please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like Willow Ostler, Ann Rose, Near Uncertainty, Serena S. Witsky, Damian Malboja, Edward Bird, James Pipkin, Ariadne Jewell, and Bo Parizo. And of course, all the longtime supporters as well. These wonderful patrons of the whatever it is that we do are officially immune to misanthropy and apanthropy. Get that jab. Help us out. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He is the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off.
God, I love Bob Menendez so much. God, I love Bob Menendez so much. God, I love Bob Menendez so much. Imagine they find gold bars in the lining of your coats and you're like,
those aren't mine.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Hell yeah.
I was wondering why it was so heavy.
Winter coat.
Pete Hegseth he's doing one thing that I sort of like. He's making budget cuts for the military. He announced, he's like, you're going to have to cut like 8% the next year and then another 8% the next few years. That's like actually a good thing, I would say. Kind of happy about it. And then Tommy Tuberville agreed with me, so didn't love that.
That's tough. That is tough.
Tommy Tuberville agreed with me in, I would say, the literal dumbest sentence I've heard in a long time. Did you hear what he said?
No.
I did not.
It's amazing. Okay, Tommy Tuberville is talking about the budget cuts, and he said, I wouldn't be against them taking it from a Pentagon to a Trigon. Cut a couple sides off of it.
Fuck yes.
Trigon.
He couldn't think of the
triangle.
His word
the name for the shape.
His word
that
for three-sided
has three sides.
Trigon.
Was Trigon, but also that's not the shape that would happen if you cut a couple sides off a Pentagon. What you'd have is three line segments, you dumb fuck.
That's the best.
Well, depending on how you do it, you might still have a Pentagon.
I think Tommy should be the king of America. Because I think if Double T was the king of America, the expectations would lower to where we deserve.
Oh my God.
Trigon.
Yeah,
Trigon.
No, they just need to quadgon up their finances there. And oh,
this
my
is
God.
A
Don't...
sitting senator. Trigon.
What do you call one of the... God damn it. It's on
you
the
know,
tip of my tongue.
What's the... It's a love trigon.
It's on the tip of that thing in my mouth. Shit, hold on
a
second.
It's the tip of my tongue. It's the tip of my mouth, penis. Now kiss me right on the mouth bone.
Oh, that's good. Thank you, Heath, for that.
Jesus Christ.
I could not believe it. I saw it and I was like, okay, this is it. Like, it was at like comicsans.whatever, which is like a jokey news source. And I was like, all right, that's pretty good. Good, that's a good job, guys. Like, that's funny stuff. Let me check. Come on. This is real?
Oh, there it is.
Trigon.
Hey, is it dumber or smarter if he said three gone?
I think it's smarter if he said three
gone. Right, because you already have the try. That's a clue as to where you should be going. Now.
Yeah. You were on the way. You were like, try shape three box. Square, but three square. You're not in the Senate now, right? Like, I don't know what law needs to get invoked or what fucking amendment that the founding fathers must have had a thing about this.
Yep.
If you said the word trigon in front of James Madison, he'd be like, okay, well, you're not in the government
now. Well, but so the thing is that if you said something that dumb back then, you had to go to Jersey and have a duel, or something like that. Like somebody would just smack you with a glove and kill you.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and Thunderstorm, LLC, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.